Amen. Before I start, I want to acknowledge Pastor Will and Ms. Tremaine. As we know, they're not here, so let's continue to keep them in prayer. But I also want to just thank them for pushing me and giving me this opportunity. So today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I would like to preach from the topic, Relationship Goals, Restoring God's Original Design. And I'd like to start by asking you a question. I gotta turn on the clicker. I'd like to start by asking you a question. What is your relationship goal? What does your relationship look like with God? If we were to go around this room and ask each person this question of what your relationship goal is, I believe we'll have different answers, but a lot of our responses will be the same because we all have goals. I believe some of our responses will be a stronger marriage, better communication with our spouses, to understand our teenager, because we know teenagers, I have a teenager, healthier relationship, healthier friendships, more unity in church, in your church family, more unity in your family. We'll have many different responses, but like I said, I believe a lot of it will be similar because we have goals, education goals, career goals, so many different goals. Like the beginning of the new year, we set what we call a New Year's resolution, and within 3 months or 6 months or however you deem fit, you want to accomplish that goal by a certain time. But have you ever asked yourself the question of what does your relationship with God truly looks like? If you're taking notes, you could write down this question. You can ponder over it throughout the week. What does it really look like? Is it hot? Are you on fire for God? Is it cold? Is it mediocre? Is it, I'm just doing this for the eye seeing of man. I just want people to see that I know God. If you were to put a microscope on your relationship with God, not for everyone to see, but just for between you and God, because it's your relationship with him, what would it look like? Every broken relationship on earth is often traced back to a broken relationship with God. What do I mean by this? A lot of times we're so busy trying to fix our relationships with the people around us. We're trying to make sure our relationships are good. This relationship is perfect, and that relationship is great. And we end up neglecting the relationship that we have with God. Because if our relationship with God was healthy, it will begin to influence every other relationship around us. So Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So this is where our connection with God was established to merit the Holy Trinity. He said, "Let us." Who was us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So our relationship was established. Relationship was established before creation was complete. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity demonstrated perfect love. What is love? God is love. And when we love, naturally love gives. We serve a God of love. God is he's love. He loved us that he gave. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we serve a God of love. So we have to mirror the same love. The love that was shared between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit overflowed into creation. The Holy Trinity also demonstrated perfect trust. Within the Holy Trinity, there is complete trust. The Father trusts the Son. The Son submits to the Father, and the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. And that's exactly how relationships need to be, because many of our relationships today are broken because we've damaged the trust that we have with each other. So everything that we do, even perfect harmony, they demonstrate a perfect harmony. They worked in tune. There's no jealousy. There's no envy. There's no suspicion. They trust each other. Of everything that God created, he spoke and it came to be. But when he created man, his greatest creation ever, he said, "Let us." So they worked in unity, in harmony. So God's original design was relationship. So Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife," or other translation says, "to cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." But before a man even leave his mother and father, he have relationship with his mother and his father, and then he meets his wife, and then he's joined to her. So it's all of these relationships going on with the man and the mother and the father and the wife, we cannot leave God out of the equation. God should be at the center of every relationship. Every relationship. And I believe when we read the scripture, the first thing that we think of is marriage. Of course, marriage. But it's so much going on in it before we even get to marriage. Because before Adam and Eve became one, God was already walking with Adam. Before there was a husband and a wife relationship, there was a God and a man relationship. Before family and community, there was already fellowship in heaven. So we have to keep God at the forefront. Adam was created for relationship. We were created for relationship. God walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And I believe because of the relationship that God had with Adam, that's why he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. But this particular day in Genesis 3, when God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam was hiding. We also know that God talked with Adam because he asked Adam to name every animal according to its kind, and he did. So God revealed himself to Adam, and that's exactly what God is trying to do with us today. He wants to reveal himself to us. When God calls you, he first calls you to himself. When Jesus called the disciples, he didn't just make them fishers of men. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So he called the disciples to himself. And that's what God does. When he gives us an assignment, he doesn't just send us out to complete the assignment. He calls us to himself. He calls us to a place of relationship and intimacy with him. And it is in a place of relationship with God where he begins to teach us, and he begins to show us who we are, and he begins to teach us his ways and his precepts. It is in a place of relationship with God where he tells you, go and do this, where he gives you your assignment and tells you your purpose. It is in a place of relationship with God where he begins to break you in certain areas, certain stubborn areas that we're comfortable with, but God knows it's not right for us. So he breaks us in those areas, and then obviously the process of breaking is not beautiful. We know it hurts, but we know that God is not doing it to harm us. We know that God is doing it because he loves us. He's breaking us because he's preparing us for a season in our lives. So sometimes when we're in a relationship with God and we're in intimacy with God, we feel like we're going through a certain season of our lives where we don't understand what is going on, and we're so confused and we're not understanding it, but he's preparing us. So in a place of relationship with God, he begins to tell you the season that you're in and the reason that you're in that season. He's not going to show you the whole thing. He's not going to show you the end, but he's going to tell you and show you the strategies for the next season of your life. Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So in that secret place with God, that's when God comes and just show you what he wants you to do is in that secret place with God where he begins to form your identity, and your identity becomes rooted in a relationship with God. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So this is where we become deeply acquainted with who God is, his character, the persons of God. This is where we become, we get to know him on a deeper level. And I believe God never intended for us to just know about him. Because we can know about God, but do we know God? He intended for us to know him. We want intimacy with God, but we don't pray. We want breakthrough, but we don't pray. Do we know God for ourselves? Do we know the power of his resurrection? So sin damages relationships. Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God, and then what happened? Sin entered. And when sin entered, it damaged the relationship that they have with God. And that's what sin does. It damages our relationships. When we step out on a spouse or we do something that we're not supposed to do, it damages our relationship. It damages every trust. And then we have to work on building that trust up again. And that's what happens when we fall short. When we fall short, we run from God. We stop praying. We stop reading the word. We stop seeking him. We start going back to old ways and doing things we used to do. We start backsliding and just doing things we have no business doing because we allow that sin to create that guilt that distances us away from God. And that's what many of us are doing today. We're hiding spiritually. So 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us how we can restore our relationships back with God. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. He calls us his people. We are God's people. We are his chosen generation, his peculiar people, his holy nation, his royal priesthood. We are his children, and he calls us by name. And names are very important. It identifies who we are. We are children of God. He made us in his image and in his likeness. He says that if we will humble ourselves, when we're not humble, we're prideful. And pride is the enemy of intimacy. So we have to intentionally set aside pride and acknowledge our flaws and admit what we've done. Like I asked the kids up here, do we admit to God when we've done something wrong? And we have to value others above ourselves. When we're humble, we recognize our need for God. We recognize that, God, I need you. I cannot do life on my own. We have to lay down our pride and just ask God to go before us. We have to submit to God's will, not our own. As much as we like to submit to our own will, what happens when we fall and we come right back to him? So we have to submit to his will and depend on him. Pray. Every relationship requires communication. No relationship on earth survives without communication. If we don't communicate with God, how do we want to hear the response from him? So many areas in the Bible urges us, encourages us to pray. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray without ceasing. Men ought to pray and not faint. So many areas in the Bible, we have to pray. That's the only way we can communicate with God if we want to hear from him, reading his word. And the enemy knows this very well, because when the enemy wants to attack a child of God, if he wants to attack your purpose, if he wants to attack your calling, He starts with your prayer life, because if he can silence your prayer life, he can weaken every other area of your life. If he can silence your prayer life, he can weaken your relationship with your spouse. If he can silence your prayer life, he can weaken your marriages, your children. He can weaken your businesses. He can weaken your ministry. So that's why he starts with your prayer life. He's not going to go after your children right away. He's going to weaken you, and then it's going to start to affect everything else around you. Relationship requires pursuit. God wants us to desire him more than what we can give him. We have to seek God. He said, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What is all these things? The things that we're seeking after God. We're asking God, I need this and I need that. The blessings, the breakthrough, everything we're asking God for, the protection, the provision. All of those things will be added unto us if we can seek him. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. He says, for any man who seeks will find. So we have to seek God diligently, because relationship grows when pursuit becomes personal. And that's why we have to have a personal relationship with God, because regardless of the community and the fellowship and all of those things are great, but what does our relationship with God look like? And we have to turn from our wicked ways. A healthy relationship requires change, not on God's part, because we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. We have to change. We have to do the work of changing. We have to turn from our wicked ways. We cannot be conformed to the patterns of this world. We cannot be conformed to the distractions of this world and expect God to give us the breakthrough that we're asking him for when we're hot one minute and we're cold the next second and we're just lukewarm. We have to change. We have to be willing to change. He's not asking us to be perfect. He is asking us to be willing. So many people want God's promises, but not the process, because the process hurts. When we're going through the process of being broken, we don't want to experience it, but we want the promise. How are we going to get to the promise without going through the process? Many people want restoration, but we don't want to repent. We want to continue doing whatever we want to do. And then when we're at a crossroad, then we come to God and like, oh, God, I need you. He's going to answer us, but how many times are we going to keep coming back? We want transformation, but we don't want to surrender all. We want to surrender some. We want to surrender certain parts. God, you can take this part of me, but not this part. Oh, I still like how this one feels, but not that one. We have to surrender it all to him. He says, then I will hear from heaven. And that's the result of a healthy relationship. These are the promises that God is making to us today. He says, I will hear, I will forgive, I will heal your marriages, I will heal your land, I will heal your nations, I will heal your infirmities. He's making these promises to us. And that's God's heart for relationship. In the beginning, we saw that relationship was already established with the Holy Trinity. We saw that when God created man, he didn't just create man for relationship. He created man to reflect what was already existing. So God once, he walked and he talked with man. And he's given us an invitation today. He's a good God, and that's why he wants to restore our relationships back with him. He's calling us back to him, to a place of intimacy. He's calling us back to him, to a place of relationship, because he loves us so much, he's able to restore our relationships with him. He's calling us back. But are we listening? Do we hear when he calls? He says, my sheep hears my voice, and my sheep knows my voice. Can we discern? Because just like God is speaking, the enemy is also speaking. So are we able to discern the differences when God is speaking? Are we able to test the spirits and know when he's speaking? So maybe your relationship goals has been focused on people, on pleasing people, on making sure that our relationships are perfect. Maybe those are what we're focused on. But today God is asking, what about us? What about our relationship? What about the relationship that I have with you? What about being intentional with me? What about the consistency? What about our relationship? When our relationship with God is healthy, our marriages benefits, our children benefits, everything that affects us benefits. Everything flows from intimacy with God. It begins and it ends with him because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So maybe the real relationship goal is not just finding the right person, because sometimes we're focused on finding the right person. God, is this the person that you have for me? If this is my kingdom husband, show me. If this is my kingdom wife, show me. If this is the business that you want me to go into, show me. But we're focused on the wrong thing. So the real relationship goal is becoming who God has called us to be through a relationship with him. And that's God's blueprint for restoring relationships. If we will humble ourselves, if we will open up our hearts to God and come to him in humility and not pride, if we would just pray, even Jesus prayed. And even if we're struggling with prayer, take baby steps and just give it to him. Seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. He says, and he will hear, he will forgive, and he will heal our land. So if you're here today and you've been struggling with getting back on track with God, maybe you've been trying to get your relationship back with God. Maybe you've backslided for a little bit. Maybe we don't even have a relationship with God. I want you to just take a second and just open up your hearts to God and ask God to come in. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door and come in," he says that he will come in and he will dine with us. So if we can open up the doors of our hearts today and allow God to come in and do what only he knows how to do, we can try on our own all we want, but we're going to fail because without him, we cannot do it on our own. We do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So if you can just open your heart to God and just allow him to come into your hearts and just ask God to put you back on a path with him. Sometimes we're struggling and we're so confused and we don't know what path to take. We don't know what our purposes are, but we're so busy and we tend to use busyness to distract us. That's what the devil does. He uses busyness to distract us from God's purpose and God's plans. But don't allow busyness to become a distraction to what God has for you. Because just like we can create time to go to work and we can create time to do whatever else we want to do and go take your kids wherever, we can create time for God. Even if it's just 5 minutes, but let that 5 minutes be intentional. Let that 5 minutes be consistent. And then you build it up. 15 minutes, 30 minutes. It's all about what's in our heart. It's not about what people see on the outside. So I want you to just take a second and open up your heart to God and ask him to come in and dine with you.